This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. This is Derek Haskins, Communications Director for the South Dakota Department of Health. Thanks for joining us for our Monday COVID-19 case update call. I'm joined today by Secretary of Health Kim Malsom-Risden and Dr. Joshua Clayton, State Epidemiologist. Today, Dr. Clayton is going to give us an update on today's cases and clusters. And then we've added some data enhancements to our website today. They rolled out about 11:30, and so Josh is going to take some time to run through those. I do want to remind you that these calls are recorded by SD.net and posted on their website mid-afternoon, so if you'd like to go back and listen to any of Dr. Clayton's explanation, please take advantage of that opportunity. I'll turn it over now to Dr. Clayton.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Today, we are reporting 65 new cases of COVID-19 in the state. This does include 3 new hospitalizations, 0 new deaths, 30 newly recovered individuals to the point where they're no longer able to transmit the COVID-19 virus, as well as 957 new tests that have been reported to the Department of Health. This brings in total our case count of COVID-19 cases to 9,020. Of those, 946 are considered active infections, and 7,939 individuals have recovered. We currently have 39 individuals hospitalized. We've had a total of 135 deaths, and we've had a total number of tests reported of 142,922. That is among the 148 unique persons who have been tested, and there are no community impact map updates for today. As far as cluster updates, we have less than 30 cases being identified among staff and residents at Bethel Lutheran Home. We have 5 individuals who have recovered out of 36 cases at McCrossin Boys Ranch. I did want to just, before I give the Camp Judson update, the CDC did release an MMWR article on SARS-CoV-2 transmission and infection among attendees of an overnight camp in Georgia during June 2020. This is an article that CDC has on their website. The MMWR is Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. They go on to state that of 597 Georgia residents that had been identified at the camp, 44% went on to develop COVID-19. So similar to the Georgia camp outbreak, we do have a total of 258 South Dakota residents. This does include 43 out-of-state, or sorry, this and a separate 43 out-of-state residents to get to that total of 328 individuals who had been at the camp. So at Camp Judson, the percentage of people who developed COVID-19 is 33% among all campers and staff. So the update includes that 44 individuals have recovered out of the 93 cases. We've had 0 individuals who have been hospitalized. Of the age groups, we have an average age of 15 years. And the range of age groups include individuals as young as the 5 to 9 year age group through individuals who are 70 to 74 years. We have 59 of those cases, or 63%, being female and 34 being male. And the top 3 counties where these cases have been identified include 77% in Minnehaha and Lincoln counties, 9% in Pennington, 4% in Coddington, and 3% in Brown County. The other information that I would like to relay today is the update to our dashboard. And so you'll see several different enhancements. The first that I'd like to mention is that the 2 existing or previous dashboards have been simplified and been combined together such that the second dashboard that had been on the website is now under the trends tab of this existing dashboard. You can see that we have added several different markers of infection for the state. So in addition to what we had pre-existing, we now have added the total persons who have been tested, which is 114,648, as well as the total tests that have been performed in the state. And let me just talk just briefly through the difference. So the total tests show how many viral tests, and that includes those that have been positive and negative, that have been performed. And this includes all tests completed for a person, and a person can have more than one test. The total persons tested shows how many unique individuals have been have received at least one test. And now that's irregardless of whether that person was positive or negative, or whether they've had more than one test. Also added to this dashboard is the percent progress for the three most current months. So that does include June, July, and August. And I would like to note that our total monthly goal for each of those months has been 44,233 tests. And the percentage shows the progress toward that testing goal for June, 97%, for July, 106%, for August, so far, 3%. Now, some of those numbers may change over time as we get additional tests reported to us. That's obviously going to happen for the month of August, which is the month in which we're in, but may include some of those tests that are reported that are coming in that are still being processed through July. The other thing that I would like to mention is that on these different dashboards, the blue background to the dashboard, they do not update when you select a specific county in the map below. So they will change if you select a specific county. The orange ones will. The last thing I would like to mention is that if you do look at the trend tab, you can see for the statewide as well as by selecting a county, the percent positivity rate, which is the test positivity rate for the last 1 day, 7 days, 14 days, and cumulative. This does help represent a marker for those percentages of tests that are being received in that have tested positive for the SARS-CoV-2 virus, and is another way, another value for us to help track COVID-19 within the state of South Dakota. So with that, we're happy to open up questions.
All right, I'll unmute our lines, and then we'll let you ask.
Gordon Richard, Alcester Union Hudsonite.
Go ahead.
Dr. Clayton, this morning Dr. Birx, the White House specialist, gave a particular warning to rural parts of our United States, rural communities. Do you anticipate that? And then also, what measures or precautions might you suggest or take?
Yeah, I think it is particularly important to keep in mind that rural areas are often have less overall hospital bed capacity to care for somebody who might need a higher level of care, such as in the intensive care unit, and are less likely to have a mechanical ventilator available or the staff to operate it. So it is important that we keep in mind that SARS-CoV-2 and the virus that causes COVID-19, is something that can be, just as deadly and sometimes more so in rural areas where advanced medical care might not be readily available. The other thing that is important to note is that, as we're looking at individuals, getting access to medical testing to identify whether or not they may be infected with SARS-CoV-2, that it's important that individuals, that there's a recognition that some of that testing is not as readily available or as timely in some of those more rural areas. And so I think those are two areas that we specifically do need to keep an eye on within the state of South Dakota.
Next question.
This is Morgan.
Megan Rett, New Center 1.
We'll go to New Center 1, and then I think I heard Morgan from the Rapid City Journal.
Can you just talk briefly about your recommendations for schools in mitigating spread in facilities where space and class size may be limited?
Sure. This is Secretary Mollison Reisden, and we've been working with school superintendents as well as the Department of Education now for some time to help them understand the guidance from the CDC, work through, school districts are actively planning right now, and those plans do differ based on just the circumstances of their physical space, their classroom sizes, a whole host of factors really kind of come into play. And so we will continue to support schools as they look to implement that guidance in the way that it makes the most sense for them, given those different factors. We've had several webinars with school superintendents and school nurses and have several planned for this week. And then starting next week, we will have a daily update to talk with schools and help them with any questions that they have.
We'll go to Morgan with the Rapid City Journal.
Thanks. Schools and colleges will be back in session like usual in just a few weeks now. And we've already seen outbreaks at Camp Justin in our K-12 population and cases at Northern in our college population. And part of our job as reporters throughout this whole thing has been to keep tabs on these outbreaks and notify the public about them. How important will that job be this fall? And how much more difficult will it become for the department and for us to inform the public of any cases in schools if every single kid, college student, teacher, and professor will be back in school soon and at risk for coronavirus?
Well, Morgan, I'll start. This is Kim Mollison Reisden. And again, we will continue to provide information on clusters and data around cases. And so if we see, a number of cases in any one particular school setting, we will be reporting that as we have been.
This is Dr. Clayton. I think, one of the other things to keep in mind is that the individuals can take precautions to minimize their risk of becoming infected with COVID-19, and that, whether that's in the school setting, the college setting, or just as you're out and about at work or shopping on a daily basis, there are things that you can do to minimize your risk. And so we continue to offer the most current guidance so that individuals can make appropriate decisions both at the individual level and at an institutional level.
Do we need to prepare for some sort of like explosion of cases a few days or weeks into the fall with the schools going back?
I think one of the things that I've mentioned often is that when you have a greater number of individuals who are coming into contact with each other, that does pose a risk of transmission of COVID-19. That does not have to be an immutable fact. That, again, there are things that individuals can do to reduce the risk of transmission. And so, we do espouse the idea of making sure that individuals are washing their hands, that, in situations where they are unable to physically distance, that they are wearing a mask or just removing themselves from certain settings. When you get into workplaces or school settings, that does become more difficult, and individuals do need to make their own choices on, what they do, how best to, in those situations, protect themselves.
If I could just ask one more quick question. Can you talk quickly about the notification process between school districts and the Department of Health and kind of reporters and how that'll all be worked out?
Well, we will be working closely with schools who will be able to help us, provide information that will be important so that we can investigate any positive case and identify close contacts. And so we have a formal communication channel for schools to provide information to the department so that we can expedite those processes. And again, we will continue to make information public, including to the media, when we see, clusters of cases, whether they're in schools or other settings.
Next question.
This is Lisa with the Argus Leader.
Go ahead, Lisa.
We've seen some larger increases in cases in the last few weeks. Is that connected to anything that's gone on in the past few weeks? And is there any concern that we're at the beginning of a larger increase or surge in cases?
You know, we definitely have seen some specific events, and, you know, and I call attention to the cluster updates that we've provided, around Camp Judson. We've seen cases at the Crossens Boys Ranch. We continue to support long-term care facilities and identifying the cases among those individuals, both staff and residents, that might be at increased risk. And so, we do feel like there's a specific need to make sure that we're providing the public, with the most up-to-date information around some of these clusters. What I would say is the information that we have has been relayed to everybody on this call, and that, hopefully you're helping spread that word that, there are circumstances where individuals have come together and that has led to spread of COVID-19. So that individuals are seeing, when they see increases cases in Minnehaha and Lincoln County, there's an understanding that some of that is due to specific events that arose in that jurisdiction or in other jurisdictions, as happened with Camp Judson and the cases going home.
Next question.
This is Jonathan with the Argus Leader.
Go ahead.
Dr. Clayton, you signed an agreement with Smithfield in May to provide epidemiological analysis of the outbreak there. Has that yet been submitted to a peer-reviewed publication, and when might we see that be published?
So, yes, that has been submitted to peer-reviewed publication, and that should be coming out shortly. We will let folks know when that is set to come out, and make sure that individuals know where to find that information.
What journal?
It's submitted to the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report, which is an article or a publication of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Thank you.
Next question.
Yes,
any other questions?
KORN News Radio.
Go ahead, JP.
Thank you very much. Now, we really haven't heard a lot more regarding recoveries at places such as Smithfield and Ancota up in Aberdeen and LSI as such. Have any of these places had any new cases?
So we do continue to monitor for additional cases within all businesses, including those that where we've had outbreaks, and we provided cluster updates to this group. What I can say is that, yes, we've had additional cases in some instances with some businesses, but nothing that, again, met the criterion for us to provide specific cluster updates, and that those individuals who, had been in the process, of recovery, that, were continuing to obviously monitor and work with those individuals to make sure that they are released from isolation when it is appropriate based on discussions between the Department of Health and their medical provider.
Thanks.
Any other questions? All right, hearing none, we will talk to you again on Thursday. Thank you for joining us.